Good morning. Very warm welcome as we worship together here at Christ Church and abroad. Welcome on this Mother's Day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, on this Mother's Day, kudos to all the moms out there. There is not a harder job on the planet, a job that's more all-consuming and more demanding, a job that never ends than being a mom. There is no close second. And as you know, if it weren't for our moms, we literally wouldn't even be here today. And yet the expectations that are placed on moms continue to increase. The expectations to be ever present, ever wise, ever caring, ever involved with their kids at school and their extracurricular activities, ever a good role model, at all times funny and compassionate, and of course, cool or hip or whatever the word is these days. Mothers are simultaneously caregivers, nurses, taxi drivers, conflict mediators, chefs. Mothers put a ridiculous amount of time into hygiene issues for their kids. And many, many moms work outside the home in addition to that and never ever get a break. No wonder I saw a magnet on a stressed out mom's refrigerator years ago. And this magnet said this: "I'll have a cafe mocha vodka Valium latte to go, please. Better make that too. And please sprinkle a little Xanax on them while you're at it." And social media has made these expectations even heavier for moms. Read this in an article in the British newspaper, The Guardian. "The popularity of social media has exacerbated this phenomenon because parents can look at what other parents are doing, even in ostensibly private moments, and judge themselves in comparison. In fact, recent research has linked greater Facebook use to feelings of depression due to the way individuals tend to compare themselves to others. Mothers, who are more frequent visitors to the site, who manage their accounts more frequently, reported higher levels of parenting stress." And that's just Facebook. I mean, you add Instagram and Snapchat and all the other vehicles out there of social media, and it just continues to expedite or exacerbate this idea of self-judgment for moms and for everybody. And even moms who avoid social media still judge themselves or feel judged by their own moms or their mothers-in-law or their spouse or ex-spouse or maybe even their own children. So a brief word of grace to all the moms out there who feel judged: God is not judging your performance as a mom. God is too busy loving you to judge you. And what this means on this Mother's Day is that maybe you can let yourself off the hook and take a deep breath. For some, Mother's Day is a day of joy and love and thanks and celebration. For others, Mother's Day is not a great day, especially for those who have been rejected by their moms or whose relationship with their moms is strained at best. Sigmund Freud once said this, and you've heard this before, I'm sure: "If it's not one thing, it's your mother." Dr. Hal Shorey in Psychology Today describes the impact that rejection from a mom has on you. "Nothing can feel more heart-sickening than being invalidated, pushed away, rejected by your parent. Your age is irrelevant. Some of you reading this will be in your early 20s and some will be in your 80s, but this applies to all of us just the same." And then he gives a couple of examples in this article about a couple moms who feel judged by their own mom, rejected by their own mom. Jennifer's mom rarely acknowledges any of her accomplishments, and Jennifer is a high performer at work and has achieved some truly amazing milestones for her age. but her mother only notices shortcomings and criticizes inconsequential aspects of Jennifer's life, like the color of the dish towels. A second example is a lady named Aisha. Aisha learned at a young age that the only way she could escape her mother's wrath and rejection was to acquiesce and appease her mother by apologizing and showing her understanding of how wrong she, Aisha, was. Her mother would then shame her for being acquiescent and apologetic. "You're so weak," Aisha's mother would tell her. "You're so weak." This rejection by a mother can also manifest itself, ironically enough, in what appears to be a good thing, but is not. Suffocating protectiveness. So I'm going to connect Sigmund Freud to Pink Floyd. Did you know Sigmund Freud has a favorite Pink Floyd song that describes this very issue? It's called Mother. It's off their 1979 double album, The Wall, which is incredible. And they put it this way. It's a conversation between an insecure young boy and his overprotective, suffocatingly overprotective mother. And early in the song, the little boy asks, "Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like my song? Mother, should I build the wall?" And her mom responds this way. "Hush now, baby, baby, don't you cry. Mama's going to keep you right here under her wing. She won't let you fly, but she might let you sing. Mama's going to keep baby cozy and warm. Of course, Mama's going to help you build the wall." The gospel on this Mother's Day and every day is that in spite of whether you may have been rejected by your mother or rejected by someone else, you've never been rejected by God. In fact, when it comes to God, it's the exact opposite. We read this in today's passage from the first letter of Peter. "Come to God, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, chosen and precious in God's sight. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." See, God graciously accepts and welcomes all those, quote, rejected by mortals, even if those mortals include your mom. God graciously invites all of us to come and be part of the royal priesthood, the holy nation, to be living stones in the church, the house that God builds, a house where everyone is welcome, where no one is rejected, because it's about God's love and not your judgment of yourself or others' judgment of you. God graciously invites those who felt left out and rejected, those who were not a people, to be part of God's people. Those who felt judged, to be accepted and receive God's mercy. The reality of God's love for the rejected can change your life. Even the lives of those who you would think already knew this. Back in 1992, a very successful, very accomplished Christian recording artist and television host, Sheila Walsh, checked herself into a hospital for her crippling depression because she was dealing with issues of rejection that went all the way back to her childhood. And even though on the surface she was so accomplished and so on top of her game, internally she was a rejected train wreck. In her 2015 autobiography, which is entitled Loved Back to Life, what a great title, Loved Back to Life, Sheila Walsh describes with a very powerful metaphor what this rejection can look like. "Every once in a while, a ewe, a baby lamb, a ewe will give birth to a lamb, you as a mother lamb. Sorry. A ewe will give birth to a lamb and reject it. If the lamb is returned to the ewe, the mother may even kick the poor animal away. Once a ewe rejects one of her lambs, she will never change her mind. And these little lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with its neck. Their spirit is broken. These lambs are called bummer lambs. Unless the shepherd intervenes, bummer lambs will die, rejected and alone. And that's very, very bleak. And here's the gospel. Do you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd takes the rejected little one into his home, hand feeds it, keeps it warm by the fire. The shepherd will wrap it up with blankets, hold it close to his chest so the bummer lamb can hear his own heartbeat. And once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it back in the field with the rest of the flock. But that sheep never forgets how the shepherd cared for him when his mother rejected him. And when the shepherd calls for the flock, guess who runs to him first? That's right, the bummer sheep. And as we were reminded last week on Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus is the good shepherd who loves his sheep so much he laid down his life for them. And this is especially good news for bummer sheep who have been rejected, either by their mothers or by someone else. It's good news for all sheep, bummer sheep or not, including you. And yet Jesus, the good shepherd who never rejected people, did not turn them away, was himself utterly rejected. And we read in today's passage from 1 Peter that Jesus is, quote, the stone the builders rejected. And yet on this Mother's Day, it's important to remember that Jesus' mother, Mary, who's probably the greatest mother of all time, let's be honest, that Mary never ever rejected him. She accepted him into her own womb, even though it would cost her decades of gossip, decades of judgment, and yes, by some, decades of rejection. Moreover, scripture tells us that the world rejected Jesus outright, that the night before he died, even his own disciples rejected him and left and took off. But Mary stayed. Even on Good Friday, as Jesus was rejected by the world to the point of an unimaginable, awful death, his mother Mary did not reject him. She was right there at the foot of the cross that whole dark day. And any of you who have watched your children suffer, especially if it's the result of other people, know that it just doesn't get any worse than that. But Jesus' mother stayed right there. And even when the whole world rejected him, even when his own disciples rejected him, Jesus' mother did not reject him. She stayed by her son. She stayed at the cross. Mary did not try to build a wall to protect her son. Mother, should I build the wall? No. And as bystanders and passers-by mocked her son, Mary stayed. She wanted more than you can imagine to comfort her son, maybe take him under her wing somehow, but was forbidden by the assigned Roman soldier who guarded the cross. And yet Mary stayed. Mary saw the nails that pierced the hands she once held when Jesus was a little boy. Mary saw the nails that pierced the feet she once tickled when Jesus was a little boy. Mary watched him breathe every labored breath until the breathing stopped. And later, Mary watched a soldier pierce the chest of her beloved son to confirm that he was dead. And in that moment, when the sword pierced Jesus' side, what the prophet Simeon had told Mary many decades before, as she carried eight-day-old Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, a sword will pierce your own soul too. And later, because God's love is stronger than death, Mary was overwhelmed by joy, probably laughing and crying at the same time when she saw that her son, her beloved son, had been raised from the dead. And you see, the good news of the gospel on this Mother's Day is that God's love for you is exactly like Mary's love for Jesus. God has never rejected you, has never walked away from you, has never pushed you away. God has always been right there with you, even through the darkest, most painful moments of your life, the moments when judgment or rejection just crushed you. God was right there. And this is good news. Whether you're in your 20s or your 80s or any other age of your life, God will never reject you. God has always accepted you and loved you. And even now, Scripture tells us what Jesus' words are to the rejected. Jesus' words to bummer sheep the world over. I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. See you next week.